This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The loveracing.nz update, your home for everything thoroughbred racing. Visit loveracing.nz, racing's biggest fan.
And being a Wednesday, it is the turn of Michael Guerin to be our guest, which we are absolutely chuffed about. And as Michael comes into the show, we're about to jump in the first at Rotorua, 10 races today. First beginning, as I said, very shortly. There's racing across the Tasman from Canterbury Park, from the Caulfield Heath, Doombin, Balaclava, Geraldton and Launceston as well. But we're more interested perhaps going into this weekend, Mick, as well on the progress of the Ellerslie track, because it was under scrutiny. It was under watch, shall we say. It probably will be for a while going forward as well. But how did it come through?
Good, Smithy. Reports are good. Good morning to you. Big hi to your listeners around the country. So Ellerslie, I'll give you a quick synopsis, people. Ellerslie laid a new track down. It's called a Strat Air track, which means it's sand-based and has a profile that drains really well. Opened in January. Really cool. Looks fantastic. The problem is the grass has grown so well and the track is so new that the grass sits on the top, mats together and almost creates a surface on top, which gets slippery. Think of your own lawn at home. If you never let the kids play in it, your lawn's there, it's nice and slick. A little bit of rain comes, and guess what? You go outside and slip over on your lawn. So what they've done after last Wednesday, after we spoke then, Smithy, the meeting at Ellerslie was abandoned after three races. Now, these aren't major safety issues, but you can't let horses and jockeys risk their life and money. So what they've done is they've called in the experts from Strat Air who put the track together, and they said they need to hollow core it more. Now that's a big machine with spikes about 10 centimetres long, but they're hollow. So they get into the dirt and the grass and they chop it up and they just soften it up. So just think if you put a sort of roller with spikes on it over your front lawn, breaks it up, you can get your toe into it better, and therefore there's more purchase and there's more give in the track. They did that last Thursday, and they also put 90 ton of sand on it. So again, that creates that friction. So when the horse puts its foot down, it's actually digging into something rather than sliding across a perfect surface. So the track, if anything, was too perfect. I know that sounds weird, but it was too nice a grass, and it wasn't suitable for horses to run fast on, because horses obviously weigh a lot, have nice big shiny shoes on them, and they get over the ground awfully quickly. Long story short, we go to the trials there on Monday. They had eight trials. The jockeys I spoke to, so independent of the club, said they're very happy. More purchase, they could feel the horses getting their toe into the track, which literally means they get more traction when they put their feet down. And after all of that, it passed what's called the return to racing protocols. So when a meeting is abandoned, NZTR and the Racing Integrity Board and the club have to go through these return to racing protocols to say, hey, we're comfortable with this. They are, and we head there this Saturday. So it's Easter, Banco Easter Handicap on Saturday. I know Easter's been, but delayed a couple of weeks. So that's a big meeting there on Saturday, so where there's three black type races. And they had this big university sort of come to the races day party. So it's actually going to be bloody good fun. But more importantly for the industry, Ellerslie and their track manager, Jason Fulford, they're still learning how to use this big beast. And you're an expert on turf. I mean, you obviously, anybody who's played high-end cricket understands how volatile a surface can be and how quickly it can change and how big a change that makes to the conditions of sports which are on these slick surfaces. So they're getting it right. They didn't get it right at the start because they had no experience. No one's been hurt. No horses have fallen. Nothing bad's happened because they have erred on the side of caution. So that's the most important part of the story. They have one meeting after this Saturday, Smithy, on May 25th. Then they pull stunts and let the track grow out again. And I think the advice they'll have heading forward is let more horses trial on the tracks the week of the races. Let it be roughed up. We don't need pristine grass. We need a surface horses can race on. And Ellerslie have been very open about the fact that they didn't get this right, but they're going to try and get it right. I think no need for alarm bells or any panic out there at Ellerslie. It's actually been handled, Smithy, considering it wasn't working properly, about as well as it probably could have been. No one sort of hidden behind anything. When you ring people, they talk to you about it really honestly. It's been a new phase for New Zealand racing because it's been really transparent. And Paul Wilcox, the boss out there, said, hey, we're sorry. We didn't get this right the first time around, but we're going to get it right heading forward. I was thinking last night, Smithy, I thought, you know what, this track will be going around for 10, 20 or 30 years and Jason Fulford will still probably be managing it in 10 or 20 years. And I think this is only a blip, but I think it's a blip which I'm glad they have acknowledged and got off their arse and done something about.
Yep, I think that it's absolutely essential too, transparency. I think that's a perfect word that you use there, Mick, and I'm very confident that in 20 years you'll still be going there. And delighting the fans.
If we're both there, I'll buy you a beer in 20 years. I'll start saving, because I know it'll be a big old session if you and I get involved.
I'll tell you what, if I'm still able to go to Ellerslie in 20 years, there'll be more than a bloody beer I'll buy you, man. I can tell you that. Right, here's the next thing. I know a little bit about quokka, because you can go to the Rottnest Island and off Perth and see plenty of them. But there's quokka at the races and another slot racing concept. What about this one? With a New Zealand interest, I hear.
Well, it's actually, there's a lot of slot races at the moment. This one's a fair dinkum, big old one. That's my Aussie language, fair dinkum. It's 5 million Aussie, so that's 5.5 Kiwi, on Saturday at Ascot in Perth. So we don't often have New Zealand horses race in Perth. You could probably list for gallopers a handful in 20 years would have been the Perth. But Waitak, the horse who won the railway in quite devastating fashion on New Year's Day, has been invited in the TAB slot, New Zealand TAB slot. They call them Trackside Media. I think they have all sorts of names for them. But long story short, he's representing New Zealand in the quokka, which, as you said, is a cute little animal. I learnt that yesterday when I Googled it. And he goes over there for Lance O'Sullivan and Andrew Scott, who are two of the really good guys of New Zealand racing, and races in this $5 million race. I'm not sure he can win it, but it's very cool and very unusual for us to have a horse racing in Perth, Smithy, because it's a really hard place to get to. There's no direct flight for horses. They've got to go to Melbourne or Sydney and then fly on. And it tends to be very microclimatic, again, like it is for sports teams. Some horses love it and some horses hate it. And he's over there. He gets back in his races. He'll be charging home, but he's up against some pretty good locals, and it's a really hard place to go for horses from other states or other countries to win. And that race, the one thing about Perth racing is it falls at a nice time. For those people who have finished punting for the day in New Zealand, around that sort of 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock area on a Saturday, the racing kicks in Perth. So this will be, I think it's around 8:30. The big race will be, and Waitak's a very rare New Zealand winning chance in a major race over there in WA.
Michael Guerin, as always, could you give us just a couple of minutes on another issue here, Mick, and that is, you can try. Just to inform us a wee bit more about New Zealand Bloodstock's national online yearling sale catalogue, which I believe is the last day for bidding today?
Yeah, so what happens is New Zealand Bloodstock sell at Karaka. So you can go there about 3 or 4 times a year and buy different types of horses. weanlings, you can buy tried horses, you can buy yearlings, which is their big sale. But not all yearlings go to the same sale. Some mature later. Some people, for example, might have 30 yearlings for January for their draft, and they don't have any more room to prepare more yearlings. So they say, well, we'll sell these ones a bit later. Or they need some cash flow. They think, okay, we don't have enough money. Let's sell some horses later in the season. So it can be a bargain sale, but this sale's not actually in real time as in regards to physically. It's on their platform. They started a platform called Gavel House. And it's quite addictive. I suggest you and I don't get on this tonight, because what happens is the horses are there and you can get vets to inspect them and that sort of thing. There's all the videos. You can see it. It's very, very well done. But every minute, a new horse comes up for sale. So there's 100 yearlings. These are one-year-old horses going through tonight. And there's every chance they have just as much chance of winning a Melbourne Cup or a Railway or a Karaka Million as any other horse. But they tend to cost less because you don't have that pressure of having 1,000 people there bidding on them and falling in love with them. But it can have quite remarkable results, because some horses won't make a lot of money. And sometimes someone could be sitting in Malaysia, Smitty, in New York, in a pizza bar. I've done it sitting at home. I once did it when I was actually on air doing the TV show Weigh-In with Emily Bossett. I was bidding on a horse, and as anybody who's ever bid on anything knows, sometimes you go a little bit further than you think you should. So that auction's tonight online, and what happens is a horse will come up, and while that horse is still being bid on, it stays live, and then the next horse comes up. And you see some really wild and varying results. And you think to yourself, well, what's the most money somebody would spend for a horse online? Well, on the Gavel House platform last year, Tiarca sold, sorry, 2 years ago, Tiarca sold Avantage, an older horse, Amir, for $4.1 million. And I'm pretty sure Imperatrix, their superstar who they retired last week, will also end up at Gavel House online. The great thing about that is that people all over the world are bidding into the same marketplace, and they don't need to fly here to see the horses. I put it to Sir Peter Vella, the boss of New Zealand Bloodstock. I said, eventually, is this how the sales are going to work? To save everybody travelling and to save all the horses being polished up and prepared, do you think the whole thing will go online? He said, look, maybe. But the romance and the enjoyment and the buzz of actually going to the sales is still a big deal for people. And people love it. So I think, Smithy, this is a really good outlet. But tonight you'll see people all over this country and other countries, because there's bloodstock agents who do this for a job. And this is all they ever do. They buy and sell horses. And they'll be sitting, God knows where, clicking away, trying to compete against each other. It's a very unusual environment. You don't have to be part of it to bid. You don't have to be part of it to watch. So you can go to New Zealand Bloodstock or go to Gavel House. It's one word, Gavel House, and get through the system. And you can watch all this unfold. It's really cool theatre. That starts at 6 p.m. tonight. If you do want to bid, I suggest you shouldn't be bidding if you don't know a little bit about these things. You have to register. But yeah, it's pretty fun to watch. 6 p.m. tonight, go to nzbloodstock.co.nz or Gavel House or Gavel House Plus. If you Google it, you'll find it, Smithy, and it's a very unusual and kind of cool experiences. And the horses who are bid on tonight are eligible for the Karaka Million, which is now only 9 months away.
Mick Guerin, I knew you'd know about it, and I knew you'd inform us to our benefit. And now it's whet my appetite even more, but I will have to be doing
it. I'll
be doing it under wife supervision if I'm allowed on it. I can promise you that. Hey, Mick, we'll catch you up again on Friday and have a look at Ellerslie in particular. Cheers for your time, mate. Thank you.
Looking forward to it, Smithy.
Yeah, cheers. Mick Guerin there. Brilliant. 11:39.